Would you turn to the book of Jude? Jude. Glory. What do you have for us tonight, Jesus? As we welcome the master teacher to come. The mentor. Hallelujah. The book of Jude. Thank you, Master. How many of y'all know the Lord's faithful? Amen. To complete what He started.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So we're there, buddy, there in the book of Jude. Would you read with me verses 1 and 2? Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, say it again, to those who are called, say it again, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Is that powerful? Just that scripture alone is awesome. I mean, it's awesome. Here he says, to those who are called. The word called means what? Invited. To those who are invited. To those who are invited, you are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. To those who are called or to those who are invited, sanctified by the Father and preserved in the anointing. Hello? Is everybody with me? He said, listen, called to those who are invited, right, to be sanctified and preserved in the anointing. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So you know when you're not walking in that arena of sanctification and anointing, mercy, peace, and love is not being multiplied. Hello? But he said, to those who are called, remember, invited. If you have been invited, that means that there is sanctification and preservation through the Father and His presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is important to understand about being invited to those who are called. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll tell you the name of the teaching in a second. First, we need a little understanding of called. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Whew. Hallelujah. We bless you, Master. We bless you. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Read it with me, please. For you see your calling, brethren. Now listen. For you see your calling, you see. Now, you know, so many people think that this word calling means that you know what you're supposed to do. It has nothing to do with it. So many people are going, what's my calling? What's my calling? You know, don't worry about what your calling is. Because that's worrying about tomorrow. If you've been called, that means you've already been invited. You don't have to be concerned about what your calling is. You first must get the revelation that you have been invited. Is everybody with me? So many people are going, they go ahead of God by trying to fulfill a calling that God's not called them to do. When they haven't gotten the revelation that they've already been invited and they're already in position in that arena. One of the worst things that you and I can do is go ahead of God. It always brings a stumbling block. Every time. Everyone that I know, including myself, when we go ahead of God, we fall. Now, what does the Bible say? Pride goes before a fall. When we go ahead of God, we just associate with the spirit of pride. Amen? Did I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Very good. God talking to me? Yes, He's talking to every single one of us here tonight. Amen? Let's go to verse 26 again. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. They are not what? Invited. Amen? So what's he saying? He says, man, you first must get revelation that you've been invited. Nothing that you have done has gotten you this invitation. It's what he did. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Yes, we are foolish and we were weak. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Yes, you and I were despised at some time. Some of us are still despised, praise God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. And things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. So first we must get revelation that you have already been invited. Amen? See, so many people lose sight of that. They get so caught up in what they're supposed to do, they lose sight that they've been invited. Let me tell you something. You're not to be concerned of what you're supposed to do. You should be concerned of what you're doing. That means because you're associating with the God of now. Don't worry about tomorrow. That just brings fear. Yes, but what about this? And that means that you're going to try and fix it in your strength associated with the spirit of pride. And every time you move ahead of God, you'll fall. Every one of us in this room that has moved ahead of... Listen, when you move ahead of God, when you miss God, right, you're in danger, aren't you? Yes. Amen. Amen. You're in danger. You can be in danger of physical problems, health problems, accidents. You can be in danger of missing God for a financial blessing. You can be in danger of missing God for a promotion. And let me share something with you, which is very important. We also are earning his trust. Does everybody understand that? See, the more you miss God, the more he can't trust you. So we must get revelation that we are already called. How about disobedience? You think you earned the trust of the Lord? Well, why are people disobedient? Right? What do? They go ahead of God, don't they? They take it in their own strength. They go ahead of God. What do you think rebellion is? It's association with what? Witchcraft. So they're associating with the spirit of pride. What happens? They fall. See, so many people think that falling just goes back out to using drugs, alcohol, go back into the world. No. That's not what a fall is anymore for me and you. A fall is outward rebellion and disobedience. That's a fall for me and you now. We have fallen. Has everybody got it? Why? Because God is, he said, to the Pharisees and to his apostles and so forth. He said, your righteousness better exceed the Pharisees and scribes. Nothing that we can do, but that he does in us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, verse 30. Come on, read it with me. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see your calling. See the invitation. Now let me share something with you. The invitation is the escape from the world of destruction. It's like somebody giving you a ticket saying, come on, I got a way out of this. You've been invited to escape the destruction of the world, the ways of the world. You've been given an invitation. You've been given an invitation to come out of captivity. Because see, you and I were born into slavery, you know that? We were born into the slavery of the world. We were born with blinders on us. In fact, our father was the devil. That's why we needed to be born again and adopted. Remember, Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, your father's from beneath, my father's from above. Amen? Hallelujah. Born in slavery. In other words, in it's in retrospect as for the arena of carnal wisdom. Right? Carnal ways that are what? Temporary. Everything is temporary. In which Christ Jesus was manifested by and through the Father, delivered to me and you by the Holy Spirit. So, which was the wisdom from the eternal realm. So the eternal realm had opened up to me and you. Why? Because you and I were invited. God manifested himself with the eternal wisdom and said, come on, now I'm going to teach you my ways. I've given you an invitation to come out of the destruction and slavery of the world, to come out of the captivity and blindness that the devil does. Here's this invitation to you. Amen? Here's this invitation to you. I am Jesus who has brought you eternal wisdom, not temporary wisdom, because it's the only way that you and I can overcome the temporary realm is to have eternal wisdom. But we first must get revelation that we have been invited, and then we must accept the invitation. Now, he's not only manifested his eternal wisdom, right? Wisdom from the eternal realm, but he brought with him his righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That no flesh should glory. And that every glory that you and I have manifested through him would bring glory to him. This is an eternal purpose now, isn't it? Not a temporary. No. For me and you to accept this invitation, something that you and I must cooperate with. Change. Change. You know what? We must want to change. Change. You know how many people are so don't want to change? They say they want to change, but they don't want to change. I want to talk about how can I change? How can I change? How can I change? How can I change? Ephesians chapter 6. There are principles. There are ethics. Spiritual ethics. Everyone wants to change overnight. Praise God, I do. Hallelujah. I want to change tonight, tomorrow night, the next night. Amen. Just like we change clothes. But I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. I don't want to change. See, man can change. We can go back to the arena where we change backwards instead of forward. Change. Just because we want to change doesn't mean, you know, some people want to change back. You know, the devil starts trying to convince us, oh, man, you were better off with what you were doing. I mean, look at the fight now. It was a lot easier to fight the way you were. At least you could see it. Now it's an eternal fight. Internal fight. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Would you read it with me? Finally. You know when the word you see finally, it's like conclusion. Okay, here it is. Listen up. Put your antennas up. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There's a revelation right there. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not your own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you know, we hear this over and over. I mean, we do. We hear this verse over and over. But so many times, we don't get the revelation that the devil's even tricking us as we're sitting here right now. Believe me, he's trying to come against every word that the Spirit has given us. He's trying to twist it, turn it, trying to bring reason, trying to bring confusion of things of the past, trying to remove us right out of this room, trying to bring us things of the future, trying to have us think about tomorrow. Amen. Or maybe the food that is getting ready for you after you have class tonight. Man, I can't wait till I get to those Fruit Loops. Hallelujah. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. That's why they're called loops. They constantly go in a circle. Hallelujah. But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the eternal wisdom, begins to manifest in me and you. Why? So that you and I, because see, wisdom represents what to do. Amen. We can have all the knowledge, but if we don't know what to do with it, it doesn't do any good. That's the difference between walking in the Spirit, because so many people are in love with knowledge. But the problem is they can quote Scripture, they can tell you what page numbers, they can tell you all kinds of stuff, but they can't walk it, because they don't know how to use it. Somebody gives you a gun, you don't know how to use it, it's no good for you. In fact, it's going to be more danger to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. How can I change? Oh, to God be the glory. You know, I think that, I really believe that we need to get the revelation that we are invited, amen, that we're called. We need to get the revelation that we're not fighting flesh and blood, right? And there's another revelation we really need to get, is that no one can change us. Only Him. And you can't change anyone either. Only Him. So many times we get caught up with burdens trying to change others or expecting someone else to change us. Amen? Only the Lord can do those things. Where did I say to go? 1 Samuel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Then Samuel took a flask of oil, poured it on his head, and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" Now this is a powerful thing, because Saul was called to be king. He was a normal man. He needed to be born again. Who? He needed to become another man, didn't he?
Yes.
He could not handle the things of God with eternal wisdom, with temporary wisdom, with worldly wisdom. He could only handle the things of God with eternal wisdom. That means he had to have the Holy Spirit. Now, because we have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we're listening. Yes, I can pray in tongues, I can read the Word, but I don't listen. That's good. I can worship, I can do all these things, I can dance around the church, I can do all this, but listen, forget it. You can't listen, you can't obey. When you can't listen, you can't obey. You associate with the other realm. Not the kingdom of light, but the kingdom of dark. Amen? So, of course, Samuel spoke to Saul, saying, "Listen, because you've been given this, I've got to change you. So I'm going to ask you to be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. You must be disciplined, because your discipline will result into a relationship and a love affair." And he told him, he said in verse 5, "After you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there into the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will what? prophesy with them and be turned into another man. You know what he was doing? He was calling those things that are not as though they are. He was speaking into his own life. Ooh. Confession brings what? Possession. So he said, now, come on, hang around with the anointing. Why? So you can become a what? Another man. He says, once you start prophesying, once you start confessing, that's why when people come into the discipleship program, we give them daily deliverance and daily confessions. They don't understand it. They're told to do it 7 times a day. If they don't, they become cursed because they agreed to it. That's why people go in cycles, because everyone wants to do whatever. Just like Nahum. Can you imagine him going to the Jordan to dip 7 times and he chooses to do it 6? Would God heal him? No. No. He won't. Oh, you know, come on. It's just the amount of times, you know. Would God have healed him if he dipped 3 times? No. But he healed him when he dipped 7 times, didn't he? You know why? Not because of the dip, because of obedience. Okay. In verse 7. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is what? With you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. 7 days is what? 7. Complete and perfect. You don't think Saul was dying those 7 days? Amen. God put him in a position where he had to trust. Now remember, was Saul invited? Yes. Did he accept the invitation? Yes. And what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, didn't he? Amen. He accepted the invitation and he was obedient, wasn't he? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and became a new man. He was able to handle the things of God. Amen. One of the things he was learning to do was submit to the voice of God, which was through Samuel, the prophet. He was willing to accept what God was saying through him. So he told him, listen, wait for me 7 days. I'm going to tell you what to do then. In other words, don't do anything else. Don't assume. Wait 7 days. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him what? Another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. Oh, glory to God. He accepted the invitation. He was obedient, wasn't he? And what happened? God manifested himself. He became a new man. Turned into another man. Why? Because he was called. He was called. Now, go to Psalm 15. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 15. Thank you, Lord. Have you been called?
Yes.
Amen. See, God always tries to get us in position to become a new man. Not just one time, but all the time. It's not a one-time event. It's continuous. In Psalm 15, read it with me. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. See, listen. Speaking the truth in his heart is a representation of being truthful to yourself. Being truthful. Don't justify. Don't make excuses. Because if you can't be truthful there, you can't be truthful anywhere else. And believe me, that's where God tests you. You'll never earn the trust of the Lord if you can't be truthful in your heart. He who does not what? Backbite. Come on, everybody read it with me, will you? Don't die now on me. He who what? Does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to think it. It means what you do with it. And whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, you hate unrighteousness. You hate lying. You hate evil. Doesn't mean you hate the person, but you hate the act of it. You hate the ways of the world. If you haven't gotten to the place where you hate those things, then you're of the world. If you're still compromising, if you do not hate the ways of the world, you're of the world. Everybody got it? In whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who what?
Fear
the Lord. In other words, if you don't hate the things of the world, you do not have reverence of God. You don't know how to fear him. Because the word says, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And it's also the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not what? Does not what?
Change.
Why? He doesn't change. In other words, he doesn't compromise. He doesn't take the ethics of God, the principles of God, and the ways of God, and changes. Did Jesus change? He was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen? Now, remember, he calls it men's traditions and so forth. God didn't change. Man changed. They always tried to improve God. In verse 5, he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things will never be moved. Will never be moved. So positioning is very important, isn't it? Will never be moved. Now there's eight ethics or eight little principles that I want to talk about how can I change? How can I change? In other words, how can I change? I've accepted the invitation. Or if we really have accepted the invitation, how can I change? In other words, how can I not be moved to go back into the world? But how can I continue to change in his image and likeness? How can I change? Let me share the first principle of how can I change. The first most important thing is you must have a desire to change. If you do not have a desire to change, let me share this with you. A desire to change and do whatever it takes. If you do not have that, you can't change. God can't change someone that doesn't want to. No matter how much you cry out, oh Lord, change me. Just because you cry out to say, Lord, change me, doesn't mean you really want to change. You know, when the Lord said to me, do you want to get off drugs or alcohol? Or do you want a whole new life? In other words, he laid two paths out for me. The drugs and alcohol, I would never get off of them unless I had a whole new life. Amen? And then you know what he said? Show me. I had to show him I wanted a whole new life, not just speak it. I had to show him. And you know what? He put me through stuff to test me to see if I was willing to do whatever it took to get a new life. Amen? So the first principle is the desire to want to change and to do whatever it takes to change. Would you turn to Psalm 34? Why we're in Psalms? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 11, 34, verse 11, come you children and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may? He desires life. What is it? Now this he's talking about eternal life and a good life here. Keep your tongue from what?
Evil.
And your lips from speaking what? Deceit. Depart from what? Evil. And what? Do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Sometimes we wonder why we're not getting what we want yet. God's not answered. Because he knows what's going on behind closed doors, and he knows what's in the heart. A desire not to change. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out in the what? Lord hears and delivers them out of a couple of their troubles. All their troubles. Hello. I'm glad some of you are reading it. The Lord is what? Near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Glory to God. How many times have you been afflicted? Is God going to deliver you? That's up to you. That's up to you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So turn to Philippians chapter 2. So we must have a desire to want to change. How can I change? A desire to want to change. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12, 13. Would you read it with me? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what?
Fear
and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. So, a will represents a desire, doesn't it? It represents a choice. So God is saying, listen, with your obedience, you must work out your own salvation. With what? Reverence and trembling. In other words, having the fear of the Lord. Why? Because it's God's desire that you do his will. It's his good pleasure that you want to change. How many of y'all want to change? I don't want to be the same. I want to go more and more. So the first principle is a desire to change and do whatever it takes. The second principle is to come out of the comfort zone. You cannot change being in your comfort zone. In other words, your strength, relying on your strength, your talent, your experience. How many times has the devil always said, well, you know, if this doesn't work, I can always do this because I'm good at this.
Yeah.
You just become friends with the world. Hello?
Hello?
Come on, do you get it? Is that wisdom from God or wisdom from the devil? That's wisdom from the devil. Right? What? Does everybody understand what I just said?
Yeah. Amen.
When you begin to rely on your talents, in other words, the devil wants you to justify not fulfilling or doing the will of God. If you can't do the will of God, you can't change. Change takes doing the will of God. The purpose of the will of God in your life and my life is so that we change. Without walking in the will of God, you can't change. Remember when we were out there not doing the will of God, we didn't change, did we? We got worse. So we must come out of our comfort zone. In other words, our own strength and talents and experiences. Everybody all right? There must be a self-denial. Whoa! Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You mean I got to deny myself again? Oh, yes. Come out of that comfort zone. Come out of that intelligent carnal mind. What is it? That's wisdom of the world, isn't it? Did you ever get with somebody who's always thriving on what they used to do? Man, I used to do this good. I used to do that good. Man, I'm good. Man. Shut up. and come out. Man, I didn't. Man, you should have seen me then, man. Whoa, glory! You love the world. Not willing to change. That just brought you back. You can't change in that arena. What did Paul say? I look at it as all dung, letting it all go behind me. You know that song that we sing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord? He gives and takes away, right? And everything that we give back to Him and praise, right? And bless. Every blessing He gives us, we give back. Well, see, the whole thing is we need to give everything back and give it. Let Him keep it. Amen. Why? So it can come back to you according to the way He wants. See, the problem is we take them back off the shelf because of our comfort. Oh, that's how I used to feel good, fulfillment of the flesh. Huh, thank you. That's why people go back to smoking. They go back to drinking and whatever. They're comfort. People go back to eating bad things again, whatever it is, things that were a part of their life where they were comfortable. We must come out of the comfort zone. Amen. What did I say? Luke 9, verse 23. Glory to God. Would you read it with me? Then He said to them all, not just a couple, all of them. Verse 23. Can everybody hear me? Hallelujah. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Wow. You know that spirit of selfishness, covetousness, Me, Myself, and I-ish. What I used to do-ish, my strength-ish and my talent-ish. It's garbage. That's right. Verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will what? Oh, praise God. But whoever loses his life for My sake will what? Will save it. We'll save it. Praise God. Self-denial. Come out of that comfort zone. But it doesn't feel good. The only reason why people are stuck in a comfort zone is because of the spirit of fear. Some people are afraid to change. And the devil has convinced them. Convinced them that if they change, they're going to lose the world. Hello? The third thing, well, hallelujah. Are you ready? We must relinquish past fears, rejection, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, negative failures, and woe is me. I'll repeat it. Relinquish past fears, rejection, any bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, negative failures. Woe is me. Vengeance. We must relinquish all of these things from our past. And I'm sure there's more. Turn to James 3. Oh, hallelujah. The butt ministry is going to get closed down. Hallelujah. James chapter, what did I say, 4?
3.
Okay, James chapter 3, thank you. Hallelujah. And verse 13. Would you read it with me? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What kind of wisdom is this? Amen. Eternal. But if you have what? Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, everybody will know it. Do not boast and lie against the truth. Justification, reasoning, but ministry. And verse 15, read it with me. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. Say earthly.
Earthly.
And what is the earthly wisdom? Sensual and demonic. I pray that gets in everyone's spirit. Verse 18. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. They're there. Where those areas exist in our lives, every evil thing has access through it. Wow. Association with evil darkness and the kingdom of darkness will prevent you from change. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Say, willing to yield.
Willing to yield.
Yes. Full of mercy and what? Good fruits. Your fruits stink. You're worldly. No stinky fruits in the spirit. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. Hallelujah. Relinquish past what? Fears, rejections, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, negative failures, woe is me, and vengeance. Glory. Change me, Lord, change me. Not that way. Not that way, Lord. I know I need changing, but, oh, come on, don't take that from me. I've been relying on that so badly. Lord, what? Come on, you know I need that job. I need this. A demonic pizza, right? Verse 4. Where are we at? Okay, let's go to number 4. The fourth, okay, so we've got, the first one was what? Desire to change. The second one is come out from the comfort zone. The third one is relinquish past fears and etc. Number 4, willing to start new, not over. Willing to start new, not over. So many people are trying to start over. You know, you can't. If you're going to start over, you're bringing your past with you. You start new, it's gone. See, the devil always wants you to start over. You can't go there no more. No more starting over. Because we've started over enough times in that vicious cycle. We've told, come on, let's start over. Let's start over. It's like a car that's constantly running over and over and over. It keeps going in a cycle, doesn't it? No. We must be willing to start new. New. No starting over. If you start over, you're bringing your old life with you. You start new. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians 3. Colossians 3. The fourth principle, willing to start new and not over. Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is everybody there? In verse 8. Is everybody with me? Read it. But now you yourselves are to what?
Put off all of these.
Who is to put off all of these? We are. Are you willing? That means you're willing to start new. Not over. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the what? New man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved, nor free, but Christ is all and in all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of
perfection.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were what?
Called.
Invited. Called. In what? One body, and be what?
Thankful.
Don't look at what you don't have. Be grateful of what you have. That means you're new. Hello? That means you're new. See, the thing is the devil wants to bring you to the past, to burden you to things that you lost. That means you're trying to not be new again. You know what I'm saying? So we want to come to that place where we want to start new and not start over. Because if he's going to bring you in those arenas, you're starting over. We want to start new. In other words, like Paul said it very powerfully, like he never learned anything. It's like everything that Paul had, everything, all of his talents, everything, it was like he never learned it. That's why you're born again. That means everything is, I mean, what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 say? He who is in Christ is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. Not that we're starting over. We're starting new. Okay. The fifth principle. Are you ready? Willing to submit to the new change without alteration. Willing to submit to the new change without alterations. Ooh. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Glorious. In verse 7, would you read it, please, with me? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, listen. By submitting to God, you are also submitting to the new creation. The Bible didn't say that you were recreated. He said you're a new creation. Hello? So as you and I submit to this new change without any alterations, don't mess with the new change. Amen? Because we're going from glory to glory. Therefore, submitting to God is submitting to the new change. Resist the devil, because the devil is going to try and change you back, isn't he? He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. That's one of the reason why people become double-minded is because they're trying to... Listen, the reason why they're trying to... Remember, what do we say? Start new, not over. People who are double-minded are trying to do it over again. Not start new. Does everybody understand that? Because why? They're still bringing the old with them. They're trying to bring the old with them to start over. Well, maybe I can change this. And no. You want to start new, right? So you must be willing to submit to the new changes and not alter them. If you alter them, you're trying to bring in the old again. You know, the devil always convinces people, let's see, why? But maybe God's going to use me in this area because I'm talented. You know, people struggle. Listen, you know, remember, what is pride? Pride goes before a fall. Why? Because the individual is trying to renew instead of start new. Can't submit to the new change. Fearful. Still carrying those things. But I'm good at what I do. That's great. Who's your trust in? Well, I trust the Lord, but I'm talented in this area. Well, are you willing to give up that talent? Well, it's all I know how to do. Oh. Then you're trying to start new. You're trying to do it over again. And over. And over. And over. And over. Remember, we must begin new. Everything must be relinquished. Everything must start new. God must bring it back. Actually, he's not bringing it back. He's perfecting it. See, now our talents are not what we've learned. Our talents are what he's given. That's a whole different thing. Remember when the men were building Solomon's temple, the Lord gave them the spirit of wisdom. Amen. He gave them the talents from his throne room to build what he wanted them to build. It's the same thing now. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. You know, I mean, you know, when people get upset, what's the first thing they do? They go back old. They're looking for fulfillment, aren't they? They're looking for comfort. You know why? Because they don't want to start new. And they're not able to submit to the new change. Is everybody okay? Okay, praise God. Where do we go? Oh, okay. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. It takes a little humility, a little humbling. You cannot submit with pride. Pride does not allow individuals to submit. It's impossible. They'll have a form of submission. But in true reality, within, there's a burning evil because they're not willing to change. They want to do it over again. They want to renew, but not become new. And that's one of the ploys and the deceptions of the devil. Is everybody okay? All right, praise God. That was the fifth one? Oh, hold on. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Glorious. Is this making sense, anybody? Good. In verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he himself gave to some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what?
Perfect man.
That means a new one. That's a new one. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, back and forth, in that cycle, and carried about with every wind of doctrine or every trickery of the devil or man or every fiery dart, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, so there's a responsibility we have, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And we'll go to that probably again. Pride and religion are killers. We must be willing to submit to the new change without alteration. The sixth principle, willing to expose self to God and repent. Willing to expose yourself before God. You must be willing to expose yourself before God. Haven't done it lately? It's time. In John chapter 3, you know, when there was ever a conflict, the Holy Spirit has taught me, show me about me. Why am I being offended? Why is this affecting me? Show me about me. Right? Because dead men don't get offended. John 3, chapter 19. Verse 19. John 3, verse 19. Would you read it with me? And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. That's why people go into isolation. And does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. People don't like to have their deeds exposed. Better to have it exposed before God. And, you know, if we're not willing to allow God to expose us, then we'll be exposed openly. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Amen? So we must be willing to allow self, expose self to God. Search your own heart. Amen? Now, let me share this with you. The fear of exposure is pride. The fear of exposure is pride. Let that one sink in. The fear of exposure is pride. Justification out of everything. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 13, but all things that are, let's start at verse 11, I'm sorry. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of what?
Darkness.
But rather what?
Expose them.
You know, how do you expose them? One of the ways before you and God is repent. Lord, you know what? I did this. I'm not going to hide this from you. It's like, I'm not going to hide this from you. Well, who told you that? You know? like he couldn't see from the beginning. But expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or boneheads, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the what? Will of the Lord is. Why? Because the will of the Lord brings change. I've got more, but I'm not going to go there. The seventh one. The seventh principle. Are you ready? Stop blaming others or circumstances in how you feel. Stop blaming others or circumstances and how you feel. Now, we just read that, so you can go back to Ephesians 4. Verse 17. Is everybody all right? The seventh principle. Now there are eight of them, because eight means new beginning. Hallelujah. In verse 17, this I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the fertility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past what? Past feeling. Things that are brought back from your past and feeling in the present. Oh man, you don't understand what this is, and you don't understand this, and you don't understand me, and you don't, no man, you just don't understand. The problem is you, nothing else. Stop blaming others and circumstances and how you feel now. It's nobody else's. It's no circumstance. It's nothing. You have a choice in how you feel. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with what? Greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Whoa. If you indeed have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was what? Created. Not recreated, but created. According to God in true righteousness and what? Holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Stop blaming others or circumstances and how you feel now. And the eighth one. Maintain your joy and gratitude of knowing him. Not just what he's done for you, amen, but knowing him. And the revelation that he knows you. James 1, I better repeat that. Maintain your joy and gratitude of knowing him, what he's done for you, who he is, and that he knows you. In other words, thank you. Thank you. James chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Verse 2. Are you ready? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, here we go back to that again, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Philippians 4. Count it all joy. Oh, praise God. So as you're being chastened by the Lord, you're just going to count it all joy, right? As you go through your trials and tribulations, you're going to count it all joy. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. No, don't freak out. Don't worry. Don't rely on your talents. Hello? Don't rely on anything else but Him. If your hope is in anything else, you fall in the carnal world. See, if your hope is in anything else, you also associate with pride. Because everything else says, you can do it. Is everybody with me? Everything else says, you can do it. But the Lord says, you can do nothing without me. Be what now? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, let me repeat these again. 8 principles. Desire to change. You must have a desire to change and to do whatever it takes. Come out of the comfort zone. Relinquish past fears and rejections, etc. Willing to start new, not over. Willing to submit to the new change without alterations. Willing to expose self to God. Stop blaming others or circumstances and how you feel. And maintain your joy and gratefulness of knowing Him and knowing that He knows you. Now, all of these things are relative to accepting the call. By wanting to change. In other words, you have accepted the call. Your answer is wanting to change. If you've not accepted the call, you don't want to change. All of these are relative to accepting the call by wanting to change, then doing something about it. We must attach ourselves to the eternal purpose while fulfilling the temporary purpose with joy. Has everybody got it? We must attach ourselves to the eternal purpose while fulfilling the temporary purpose with joy. 8 principles of how can I change? Has everybody got it? How many of y'all want to change? Father, change us and guide us in these principles. Let the seed be imparted deep in our spirit. Cover it with the blood that we may be quickened to these principles to show you, Lord, that we want to change and be more in your image and likeness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.